I've been saying the topic of being a light. You know, when I just say that, I think everybody knows what that's all about. It's part of the famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. They called it that because he was on the hillside there in a place near Capernaum, is where he was. So they call it the Sermon on the Mount. He would always get in a high place up on the ship in different places so that he could be heard. They didn't have PA systems and whatnot back in the day. It's rather long when you look at the whole Sermon on the Mount. It covers three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Of course, we won't cover all of that. A lot of material in that has been said by some that the Sermon on the Mount to the New Testament is what the Old Law was to the Old Testament. So that's the way, that's the comparison that they made. That's not necessarily what it is, but there's a lot contained in that. Of course, we're not going to cover all of that. We're only going to go look at three chapters for our text. If you'd like to read with me, it's Matthew 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is talking. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The very beginning in Genesis, God created light. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and he saw that it was good. Light is very good. Of course, that's talking about the physical light when he lit up the universe. We're still enjoying it today. This is a beautiful place. When you look out, that's God's light that's causing us to see all this right here now. Next, in his incarnation and revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the light we're going to focus on this morning. Jesus declared in John 8 and 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light of life. That's what we're going to be looking at. If you'll notice, when he says, "I am the light of the world," in the very same context, very same words, and you can't say this is Greek, this is Hebrew, this is Latin, whatever, and it loses something in translation. No. It's the exact same wording. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Think of that. Think of what he said. What an honor Jesus gave us. He put us in the same category that he is in. He's the light. We're the light. That should excite us just to look at that and rejoice when we read those words that Jesus would put us in the category with him. When he left this world, he left us in his place. To be a light of the world, we have to be in the light, don't we? A sinner out here somewhere might do some good works, but he's not in the light. He's not reflecting light like we should. We have to be in the light ourselves. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 and 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." All through the Bible, good and evil is mentioned, represented by light and darkness. It's just always been like that. You know, God is light. Jesus is light. We're to be the light. It's always been wicked, sinful, evil people are considered dark, and the others are considered light. It's just sort of the way it is. It's still that way today. You know, in some of the old westerns we used to watch, for the most part, the good guy would have on a white hat, and the old outlaw would wear the black hat, pretty much. Today, when you see people dressed in black, it's usually concerning evil. You know, a lot of people just have a gothic look. They just like to wear black things. The women have black nail polish and black lipstick. When you look at Halloween, it's Halloween people. The costumes are geared towards blackness, the evil, isn't it? So it's right opposite of what God wants us to be. There's no middle ground here. We're the light, or we share that darkness with all the outlaws and the Halloween people and all the evil, wicked people of the world. We're in the darkness if we're not in the light. There's no middle ground. Praise God, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live in that darkness. It's a wonder. We have a loving God that cared for us, that brought us out of the darkness. Paul told the Colossians 1, 12 and 13, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." God did that for us. We'd still be in darkness had it not been for his love, grace, and mercy towards us. We should appreciate that every day, thank him every day, and shed that light all we can. So when Jesus blessed us with this great honor, saying, "You are the light of the world," It came with it a serious responsibility, didn't it? Those are big shoes to fill when you say, I'm standing in the place of Jesus Christ. That's very humbling to think of that, isn't it? Very, very humbling, because you know that you can't stand in Jesus' shoes. You can't take the place of Jesus, only in a small way. But that's the way we should look at it. We not only have received the light of the gospel in Christ, but we've become reflectors of that light. That's what we are. The world must see God through us. That's our job, to live in such a way that when people look at us, they see God. You know, they're not here to hear all the sermons that y'all preach, and I'm trying to preach now. The world is out there. The sermon they see in us is the light that we project. When they see us doing good, we go about doing good, and we're who we're supposed to be. And we're giving God the glory. That's what it's all about. For example, you've been down by a lake on a bright moonlit night, just walked by a beautiful lake, so like this one, with a full moon shining bright. You know, a beautiful moon is a pretty sight, and I've always been enchanted by the moon. It's just something captivating by the moon. I like the moon. It's God's creation. Nothing compares to God's creation. The city lights, all the lights, man-made lights, they're nothing compared to God's light. Nothing. Anything that God does is perfect and good. You know, this little off subject, but my little one-year-old grandson, I saw him Monday evening, and I pointed out the moon to him. It was evening, but the moon's already out, and I pointed the moon out to him. And he looked at it and pointed at it. The next day, my daughter texted me, and she said, Tag saw the moon, said he's pointing at the moon. So he's already noticed that. You know, they're very smart. You know, everybody thinks their grandchildren are the smartest. Yours are smart, too. Kids are smart. They pick up on so much. He remembered that moon. I wish I had a memory like him. But they're the little sponges. They pick up on everything, not just him, but his sisters. So he remembers remarkably well. He's very perceptive of things around him. I'll step on a snake, you know, myself. I don't pay attention to what I'm doing, but those kids are very observant. Yours are too. I need to be a very, very bright light around those kids, because they're very impressionable at that young age. So I need to be very careful that my light shines so that they will see how they need to live. It's very, very important. Back to the moon thing. When you look at the lake and you see the moon, it actually looks like the moon is literally in that lake. It really does. Some of the animals are fooled by this. They might think that really is, and might jump in the water trying to catch the moon. They're fooled by that. But we understand that the lake is just reflecting this beautiful light. This light comes from God's moon. That's where it comes from. The lake has no light in itself. If a cloud goes over the moon and covers it up, that lake becomes black as night, because it doesn't generate any light on its own. It only reflects back what it gets. We Christians are much like the lake. We were in darkness, and God called us into His marvelous light. That's why we have that light. God is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, and the light. God gives us light as the moon gives the lake light. In and of ourselves, we do not have any light. No light at all. We were in darkness, and that's where we'd go back if it weren't for God sending us the light, giving us the light. So that's where we begin. We'd be as black as the night, just like the lake, without God's light in our lives. We need to keep that alive in our life. That's where most of the world is today. They're in darkness where we were. We need to remember that. Most of the world's in darkness. They're in sinful darkness, and it's hopeless. God is dependent on us. Jesus is dependent on us when He said, you are the light. He wants us to go out there and get all we can in the light. Don't leave them in darkness. We need to show them the way. Reflect that marvelous light that Jesus gave us. Reflect it so they can see and know. Right before Jesus gave this commission, there on the Sermon on the Mount, he covered what is called the Beatitudes. Well, I heard one fellow said, he said, they're Beatitudes. He said, it starts off B-E. He said, it's not do attitudes. The point he was making was, he said, this is what you become. If you notice what Jesus said, he said, ye are the light of the world. He didn't say be a light every once in a while, practice to be a light. He said, ye are the light of the world. So it's a good point that guy made about the Beatitudes. I never thought about that, but that's exactly what Christ was saying. So when the lights, we're not like the little switch on the wall. You can cut it on and off when you want to, just when it's convenient, when we need a little bit of light. We're lights 24/7, all the time. When Jesus instructed us to be the light of the world, He didn't give us a stopping point. He didn't say, be a light until such and such time. You fill in the blank whenever you think is good. He didn't say that. He said, be the light, period, the end. When do we start? When we become Christians. When we become Christians, we obey the gospel. We're baptized to rise in newness of life. We should be lights from that very moment on. And there is no stopping point all of our life. There was no stopping point with Jesus. He was a light all His life, even on the cross. He was a light. If you remember, when the thief next to Him got saved, He made Him in paradise. He was a light to him. The Roman soldier said, surely this was the man of God. He was a light all the way through, even to His horrible death. No, there's no stopping point. If we're following Christ, we'll expose the darkness. We'll expose our light in the world we live in. That will show them that they're in the darkness if we're living right. Jesus says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They enjoyed the darkness, and they didn't want the light shining on them because they were evil. Sort of like in John 8, we won't read it in this paraphrase, in John 8, verses 3 through 12 there. The scribes and Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in adultery, brought her into Jesus there. They wasn't concerned so much about her sin. What they wanted to do was try to trap Jesus. They were always trying to trap Him any way they could. So that's what they were doing here. They brought her in there, and they said, according to Moses' law, we're supposed to stone her to death, but what do you say? They wanted to see what he said, if he said something different, if he would say something that they could accuse him of. When he said that, Jesus just stooped down to the ground and just started doodling in the ground, just writing on the ground with his finger, just ignoring him. They kept on, though they wouldn't hush, they kept on. So he stood up and looked them in the eye. Could you imagine Jesus looking you in the eye? He said, whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That's just a paraphrase. And he stooped back down and started writing in the ground again. One by one, they walked away. Because they knew that he knew there was sin in their lives. He knew their lives. When he looked at them, they knew good and well. You ever had your mama look at you when you've done something wrong? Your conscience convicts you. You know you're caught. You know you're caught. When Jesus looked at them, they couldn't take it. They had to walk away one by one. The reason they didn't want their sin brought to light. So the passage we just read there, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Theirs were evil. They were just as guilty as the woman they brought in there. That's why I think Jesus rolled on the ground there, because when they came in with her, he was thinking to himself, who are you to bring this woman in and all of you are full of sin? So he just kind of ignored him. I think it just sort of just turned him off. I'm guessing here. I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth from up there. The point is, people in darkness, they can't take the light sometimes. Like when you wake up early in the morning, sunshine, your eyes, you can't look at it. You've got to adjust. Huge difference in darkness and light, isn't there? God divided the lightness from the light from the darkness, it said. Huge difference. We come into contact with people every day that are living in darkness. People that their souls are lost. We know they're lost because they've never come into church. They've never known anything about Christ. We're outnumbered by far. We're in minority. There's so many more people in darkness than there are in light. We're very, very much outnumbered. But we can use this to our advantage if we'll only do that. If you look at it in the right perspective. The darker it is around me, the more my little light will shine. That's the way it works. I'm the mere reflection of the light of the marvelous God. Just a small reflection is all I am. When we Christians are together like we are this morning, all of our lights are shining. You probably don't even notice my little light because all your lights are so bright. I don't stand out here at all. Which I'm not trying to, but my point is this. In total darkness, my little light shines. If it was total darkness and you weren't around, just me in darkness, Even though I got a dim little light, it shines. You can't help but notice it. You ever seen a lightning bug at night? Be out in the yard when we used to, when we was kids, we'd catch them and put them in jars or whatever. Sitting out there and it's just pitch black, and you see a lightning bug light up. It's a small little light, but when it lights up, you see it. The reason you see it is because you're surprised by it. You haven't seen that lightning bug before. He's flying around there, but it didn't light his light up. He blended in the darkness. But when he lit up, you saw it, even though it's a tiny little light. It got your attention. By the same token, when we're in an evil world surrounded by darkness, if we just have a small little light, like the lightning bug, people are going to take notice. Unless we just leave our light off like the lightning bug. We didn't see it there. We didn't know it was there. Couldn't have found it at all until it lit up. It blended right into the darkness. But the least little light will stand out. You do something good, and where everybody there is evil, you're in darkness, you're going to stand out. People are going to notice. Law of averages is on our side because, like I said, we're in minority. There's more of them than there are of us. So anywhere you're going to go, from here to home, you stop in a 7-Eleven, you go into Walmart, wherever you go, you're going to be around people that are in darkness. So the law of averages is, if you keep shining your little light, eventually somebody's going to take notice, like you saw that lightning bug. They're going to see you a little bit different. We stand out. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, and we are. You stand out. Sometimes I think I'm not living as good as I need to. I need to do more of this, more study, more this, more this, more this. But still, we stand out compared to somebody that's in total darkness, don't we? Don't give up. Don't think you're just worthless. Just keep on keeping on. Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. You know, how do you hide your light? There's many, many ways. We can't go down a list and say all the ways that you can hide your light, but there's lots of ways that we can put it under a bushel. You know, I can do better deeds than any of you here. I could right now, if I could. This is a scenario. I can't, but I'm saying, if I just say, well, I'm going to write out a check for $1 million here, so that from now on when you have a camp meeting, I'll just pay for it. And I want to do this and that, and I want to just go ahead and build a wing on several churches, all the churches represented here. I want to just fund a lot of money towards you. I want to get the newspaper out here and get a picture of me with this check. I could do some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful deeds. It's all for nothing if I do it for me. I'm hiding God's light. Do you see God in that anywhere? No. If I did that very thing that I just said, it's a very good thing to do. But God is not in that. I did not let my light shine and reflect back to God at all. So that's one way just to hide it. Be a hypocrite. We're hypocrites. It's possible to do the right thing, but if we do it to be seen of men, then God is... You don't see God's light at all. He's not in it. Another thing is fear. This is a very sensitive microphone. I'm bad about one. Fear is the opposite of faith. If you've got enough faith, you won't be fearful. You know, Peter had an opportunity to shine there in Jesus' darkest hour. This little servant girl asked him, said, weren't you with him? Didn't we see you with him? He said, no, actually cursed. Surprisingly, Peter actually cursed because he was afraid. He didn't want to get mixed up with this. He didn't want to be crucified and killed. He was afraid. So when you're afraid and you don't stand up, put your little light out. Put it under a bushel. That's another way to do it. Worldliness. Don't love the world, things that are in it. If we get caught up in the world, and that's your main objection, is the world, worldly things, then you've abandoned the light. You've walked back into darkness. There is no light. There is no light in the world. It is darkness. So if you're clinging to the world, you're clinging to darkness. That's going to snuff out your light. Rudeness is another thing. I think this is one thing we really need to be aware of, because we've always been a little smug. Church of Christ people are a little smug, and sometimes we come off that way. Maybe we don't mean to, but we need to work at not being so rude. You know, Colossians 4, 5, and 6, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. People that are in darkness. People that are without the church, without Christ. He said, walk in wisdom toward them. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Rudeness is not a shining example. If I'm rude to somebody out here, there's no way in the world they're going to say, where do you go to church? I'd like to join you. That's not going to happen, is it? You're going to hurt the church. You better not tell them where you go, because you're going to hurt more than you help. God wouldn't want you to mention it. We should try to win a loss with love, of course. That's what it's all about. Love's all through the Bible. That's what won us over, was love. You see how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us? That's what makes us want to serve Him. That's what it's going to take to win the lost. Shine your light with love. There's a lot of ways to hide your light. Just sinfulness in general, all kinds of sin. We can't name all of them. Laziness. Long list, but I think you get the point. From Jesus' words, we can tell that He doesn't want us to live as monks, does He? He doesn't want us to isolate ourselves and just stay in a church somewhere and sit there kind of smug in the church, feeling superior to everybody else. Who's going to see our life? Who is? Think about that. We have to be seen by others to fulfill our purpose. We have to mingle. We have to be out in the world for them to see our life. I could have the brightest light in the world if I just stayed at home all the time. What good would it be? Wouldn't be fulfilling my purpose. If Jesus hadn't got out and walked and done all the work He did, we wouldn't know anything about Him, would we? We've got to be busy and active. It's work, work, work. But at the same time, we need to be very careful when we're doing this not to receive any glory for ourselves. That's important. It's not about us, not about us at all. It's about God's glory. That our light reflects back to Him. If somebody sees something good in us, we want them to know and understand it's because of God. It's not because I'm good at all. There's no good in me at all. You know, Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Some of you may have heard this. Brother Dwight Thomas passed away. A good member there at the church where we go. He wrote out his sermon himself. He wrote out his eulogy. I had Brother Alan Daniel to read it word for word, verbatim. And I was talking with his wife, and I said, it's very unique, very good. And I think they're going to put that on the harvester, so a lot of you can read that if you'd like. One of his main reasons for doing that was he didn't want somebody to get up there and say, Dwight Thomas was a good fellow, one of the best fellows. He did this and this, and just brag on him and brag on him. He didn't want that. Very commendable. Very commendable. I was very touched by his reasoning. But that was his reasoning. That's what his wife told me. She said he didn't want people to say he was good. So that wasn't mentioned in his lesson, his eulogy. So we need to be very careful that our light reflects back to God. It's not about us. You know, we need to encourage one another, and we do that a lot. You know, I'll say, I enjoyed your prayer, and I did. But I hope it don't go to their head when I say that, because the only reason they can pray a good prayer is God gave them that challenge. God gave them that. We don't need to. Doing good deeds is a fine thing, but a sinner can do good deeds. They can be some. You can have a flat on the road, and maybe home, going home today. Some old sinner, some old drunk may stop and help you. He'll do a good deed, but it stops right there. He didn't get any credit for it. None at all. Because he's not doing it in the right way. You know, he's not reflecting God in the way he's doing things. He's drinking, you think, with the devil more, don't you? But that was in our text. Jesus said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a twofold thing. So don't just think I need to do good, 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 good. Say, I need to do good so it will reflect on God. God's got me down here as a meek little servant so that people can learn about Him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to knowledge of the truth. All be saved. And it's up to us to help Him do that. He's depending on us. Can others see what God has done in you? Can they see without you bringing it up? It's all about influence, really. When he's talking about our life, he's talking about influence. Live your life in such a way that you influence others. People are influential. Just like I said about the kids, they're very influential, very impressionable. I have to be careful what I say about around them. They misunderstand things so much. It's people the same way. They watch what you do, and they see what you do, and you can be very influential. If they don't see God in us, they're not going to want to turn to Him, are they? If they don't see joyous Christians, if you're doing it, you know, in just a bad mood, you're going out there, you help your neighbor, you know, do something because he needs some help, and you're aggravated, it's hot, you don't want to do it, you're not going to influence somebody like that. Do it with joy. You know, when you think about all that the prophets went through, Apostle Paul, so many of them, all the things they went through, bad, awful things. Paul in particular, he just went through all kind of persecution, beaten and left for dead, in prison and all that. And he was always joyful, joyful, joyful. That would be very influential to me. If I saw someone going through half what he went through and they were just full of joy. Well, the book of Philippians, I think he mentions joy or joyful or rejoice or something in that nature about 16 times. And this is a small little book. He says it over and over and over and over. He was joyful. He was happy. We should be happy when you think about what we're gaining from this. We should be happy. Set a good example so they can see Christ in us, so they can see God in us. Displaying Christian virtues day in, day out. Giving no credit to ourselves. You think, well, Don, you said this two or three times. I'm saying it again. The reason I'm saying this is because it's so important. It's we want people to see our light. It says, you know, be a light so people can see it. But I want you to notice this. This seems like a contradiction, but it's not. But here we are, we're out here trying to be a bright light, trying to be a good example, trying to live for others so they can see God in us, trying to do good. And then Matthew 6, 1 and 2, Jesus says, take heed that you do not your own before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory in men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So there's a fine line here. We've got to be very careful. It's like I said a while ago, if I was going to give all this money and I said, call the paper and get a picture of me and put it in the paper, you know, with my check. We can't do that. We've got to be very careful. We want to be seen of men with our good works. He says, don't do it for the wrong reasons, is what he's saying. I think we all understand that, but it needs to be pointed out. We want to live right before the world to glorify God. It's all in the way you present it. Just don't say, look what I did. That'll kill it. I don't care what you do. If you say half the world helped save them and got them in the church, if you say, look what I did, you killed it all. Your light is out. You're lost. You're lost. And you've robbed God from His glory. It's an awful thing to rob God, isn't it? To rob anybody is a terrible thing, but if you rob God, that'd be a horrible situation. If we're diligent serving God like we should, if our light is shining like it should, some days better than others, you know, we're just humans and we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fall and get back up and ask God to help us. That's the key. Ask God to help us. If I'm out here just think I've got it all figured out how I'm going to make my light shine, I'm wrong before I start. I've got to ask God to help. We've got to have His help, His guiding light to shine on us, but to shine back. If God's in it, we won't fail. It's man's reasoning, we won't get anywhere. We can have a seminar on having a bright light and leave God out of it. You get nowhere, you back up. In conclusion, Jesus said in the text that they may see your good works. Nothing points to more clearly than doing good. Nothing points to God any better than just doing good. There's so many things you can do, so many categories. But if God expects everything we do to always be good, morally, ethically, everything we do is always the good thing to do. But you notice this, I thought this was a very interesting verse. You know, when God sent Peter to talk to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. We've all read that lots and we know how that is. Peter went over there to talk to Cornelius. And he was trying to explain to him, because Cornelius was interested in God. He loved God and wanted to know more about him. And Peter was a good one to send, because Peter had known Jesus and he knew how all this worked. So he was a good one to send. So he goes over there, and so he says this to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Very, very good verse. He said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Peter summed this up perfectly. Of course, Peter was inspired. We can't give him all the credit. I think Peter wouldn't like it if I did. God wouldn't like it if I did. He's inspired by the Lord God himself when he wrote this. That's why it's so perfect. Let me read this again. I want to point this out. He said, "How God anointed Jesus." He didn't say, and he held Jesus in high esteem. He loved Jesus. He would do anything for Jesus. He was always jumping up ready to help Jesus. He loved him. But he said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." He said, that's where he got it. "Who went about doing good." He said, right on, he praised Jesus. He said, "Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." And the very last thing he said, "For God was with him." Now, if you look at that, Jesus Christ didn't even take credit himself. He gave it all to the Father. Who are we to take credit? Don't ever take credit. Isn't it wonderful to be walking in the light? Is it not wonderful to be walking in the light? I walked in darkness so many years. I'm so glad I'm in the light. I wouldn't go back in. You couldn't pay me to go back in the darkness. You could not pay me. I love the church. I love the people in the church, and I'm glad to be here. I appreciate God letting me live long enough to come into the church. We should appreciate all that he's offering. I don't think sometimes we realize all that he is offering us. We need to walk in such a way that we reflect his marvelous light in everything that we do every day, because people are watching. We don't ever know who's watching. I think if we did, we'd have to build bigger church buildings. If we did this to the best of our ability, we'd attract a lot of people. One day we're going to go to heaven. We're going to see that wonderful light. Revelations 22 and 5 tells us that God himself will light up heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought, to get there and God himself light up heaven? He'll show us what the light's all about. That's my lesson. I hope maybe that we might be encouraged to be a better light. That's our job. It's not just a thought. It's our job. It was a command when Jesus told us that. He said, "You are the light. What are you going to do with it?" Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention. I'll turn the service back over, Brother Mike.
Thank you, Brother Dunn.